All right, we're going to move on to the scripture reading today, which is Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. May God add his blessing to the scripture reading. And today, Kenny's going to bring us a really neat sermon. Sunday is coming. Enjoy.
Well, this isn't my favorite place in the church, but small church like this, we all have to do the best we can and step up. And so I just thank the Lord that I'm able so far. I want to have a prayer if you'll bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for this church building, and thank you for those that have come to be with us. Thank you for watching over them as they made their journey here. And I just pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to be with me and the people here today, that I might have the right words, not my words, but your words, that will be a blessing to each one of us, Lord, and especially as we're looking for the soon coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory to take his church home. And we just pray that we'll be part of those churches that will go, and we just thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So what does the year 321 AD bring to mind?
It changed the Sabbath.
The first Sabbath law, the first Sunday law. Constantine, the emperor of pagan Rome, wanted to make Rome to be Christian and to worship on the venerable day of the sun. As Putt just read, excuse me, Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And a lot of this is going to be out of spirit of prophecy, so I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I'm going to read out a darkest before the dawn, page 25. Royal edict, general councils, and church ordinances by secular power were the steps by which the pagan festival attended its position of honor in the Christian world. The first public measure enforcing Sunday observance was a law enacted by Constantine in 321 AD. This edict required state townspeople to rest on the venerable day of the sun, but permitted countrymen to continue their agricultural pursuits. And there were many Sabbath keepers at that time, but Constantine wanted everyone to be keeping Sunday. And citizens were still allowed to keep Saturday and Sunday together. Great Controversy 49, second paragraph, little by little, at first in stealth and silence, and then more openly as it increased in strength and gained control of the mind of the people, the mystery of iniquity carried forward its deceptions and blasphemous work almost imperceptibly, and the custom of the heathens found their way into the Christian church. But while Christians were gradually led to regard Sunday as possessing a degree of sacredness, they still held the true Sabbath as holy, as of the Holy Lord. Great Controversy 52, page 52 says, in order for Satan to maintain his sway over man and establish the authority of papal supremacy, he must be concealed and suppressed. This logic was adopted by the Roman Church for hundreds of years. its circulation of the Bible was prohibited. You know, you keep the people ignorant of the scriptures, you can get them to do anything. They don't know any different. Page 51 of Great Controversy. Satan tampered with the fourth commandment, saying to set aside the ancient Sabbath, the day which God had blessed and sanctified, and in its stead he exalted a festival observed by the heathen as the venerable day of the sun. This change was not at first attempted openly. In the first century, the true Sabbath had been kept by all Christians. They were jealous of the honor of God and believed that the law is immutable. They zealously guarded the sacredness of the precepts. So the union of church and with state will be a degree so slight, while it may appear to bring the world nearer to the church, does it really bring the church nearer to the world? Do we see the same mindset entering in our church today? With the Seventh-day Adventists gripping hands with the United Nations, many people would accept this because it comes in a disguise of just receiving money from the government to help do God's work. We can receive money and let the ADRA help in relief, in disaster relief, and give us the ability to work for the Lord. But, wait a minute. We can't witness because the United Nations will not let us use the name of Jesus or hand out literature when we serve those in disaster. ADRA says we are not to proselytize while doing relief work. Great Controversy 574 says that the papacy became firmly established. The work of Sunday Exalted was continued. For a time, the people engaged in agricultural labor when not attending church, and the seventh day was still regarded as a Sabbath. But steadily the change was effected. Those in high offices were forbidden to pass judgment in any civil controversy on Sunday. Soon after, all persons of whatever rank were commanded to refrain from common labor on pain of fine or for freeman's stripes in case of servants. Later, the decree that rich men should be punished with the loss of half of their estate, and finally that if still obstinate, they should be made slaves. The lower classes were to suffer perpetual banishment. So the Sunday law is coming up on us, we know. And I can remember, many of you too can remember back, in the 70s, when before the 70s, most businesses were closed. You couldn't find anything open on Sunday. And I know that there's a bit of history. It says the Postal Act of 1810 was a federal law that mandated all 2,300 U.S. post offices to be opened and process mail 7 days a week. Specifically, the law required postmasters open their offices for at least 1 hour on Sunday to allow the public to collect their mail. President Taft signed a law in August of 1912 that post offices would be closed on Sunday so that employees could spend the day with their family. A Sunday law that would exist until today, but not yet enforced. I remember back in the 70s, Bev and I were in Arkansas and we was heading home on Sunday. And we was about out of gas. And we went through many towns and there wasn't a filling station open anywhere. We thought we was going to have to spend the night and wait till Monday morning, but we finally found a little station that was open that we could stop and fill up. So if you can find a liquor store open in Kansas, You could not find a liquor store open in Kansas. If you wanted beer on Sunday, you had to find a store that would bend the law a little bit so you could get your Sunday afternoon beverage. The first phase of the Sunday law will be a soft one, just like it was when Constantine brought it in first. It'll come in soft. Nobody's going to bother you if you keep Sunday and Sabbath together. I think we can all agree that the COVID epidemic was a test to see how far they could force people to go to mandate enacted by the government. Mrs. White in the Bible tells us that the day is coming when we will have to refrain ourselves from laboring on Sunday when the law forbids it. Last Day Events 139, refraining from work on Sunday is not receiving the mark of the beast. In places where the opposition is so strong as to arouse persecution, if work is done on Sunday, let our brethren make that day an occasion to genuine missionary work. And that's out of the Southern Work, page 69 and 70. If they could come here and say, you must close your work and your presses on Sunday, I would not say to you, keep your presses going, because the conflict does not come between you and your God, manuscript 163 in 1898. If it's not necessary to work on Sunday, then we should refrain. This is out of Selected Messages 399. We should not feel it enjoined upon us to irritate our neighbors who idolize Sunday by making determined efforts to bring labor on the day before them, purposely to exhibit our independence. Our sisters need not select Sunday as a day to exhibit their washing. So don't wash on Sunday. Of course, now we have dryers, so who would know? We are told that Sunday law will come in as a day of rest, a day to save the environment by limiting our travel on Sunday, to stop polluting the air on that day and be with our families. Filling stations will be closed to limit our driving on that day. Most manufacturing is closed on Sunday, but it will be a day that non-essential businesses will, by law, be closed. I will imagine that hospitals and pharmacies will be opened for those who are in need of an emergency room. If the people go to the emergency room and need medicine, there'll be a drugstore open. During COVID, the only thing that was allowed to be open were bars and liquor stores. Now make me understand that logic. No church was allowed to open. Couldn't even congregate in an open field or for worship. Again, I don't understand the logic behind that decision. Churches are where people go to meet others of like faith and worship God would be closed, but the dens of sin would be allowed to be open. So I see that a soft law on that would make all stores closed on Sunday. It would not affect those of us who keep the Sabbath. We would have to make sure that our transportation was full on the preparation day so that we could make the trip to church on the Sabbath. Great controversy, 679. Let all the judges and the townspeople and the occupations of all trade rest on the venerable day of the sun. But let those who are situated in the country freely and at full liberty attend to the business of agriculture, because it often happens that no other day is so fit for sowing corn and planting vines, lest the critical moments being let slip, men should lose the commodities gathered, granted by heaven. That is basically the way the Sunday worship came into the church. Both days were kept as a worship day. But if we But if you were involved in agriculture, you could go ahead and work on Sunday. But what is one day a rest, even for crops? It's not going to matter, I don't believe. This is why it tells us that when the first phase of Sunday law is implemented, we will refrain from working on that day and use it as a day of evangelism. Christian Service, page 209, Satan makes every effort to lead people away from God, and he is successful in his purpose. When the religious life is drowned in business cares, when he came to absorb, when we become so absorbed, I lost it. Well, can you believe this? Well, I have to go to my other thing. Hang on, bear with me. I'm going to find out where I was at. Electronics are fine until you mess up. And that was my fault. Okay. I'm glad I got a backup. Want to sing a song? This is embarrassing. I'm sure you will. Okay. Now, Satan wants us to go to church, but on his day. He has no problem with people worshiping Jesus on Sunday as long as they do it on his day. Now, the next phase will probably be mandatory church attendance. A religious connection, people will be urged to go to church, not exactly mandatory, but a strong urge. People will be urged to attend church on Sunday to receive favor. There was also controversy on closing the 1893 World's Columbian Exhibition in Chicago. The Presbyterians wanted the fair gates to be kept closed on Sunday. They went as far as to not open their exhibits on the Lord's Day, Sunday. At this phase, there will be likely lawsuits and legal actions taken against us as a church and then as individuals. The Sunday law gets traction in churches. In the churches, it may create dissension in our church, and those brethren who are not settled in the truth of the Sabbath of the Lord will turn on those who are true Sabbath keepers. They may be urged to give up the names of those who do not go to church on Sunday. They may be given special privileges to those who give the names of those who do not go to church on Sunday and given those names to the authorities. In Mark 13:11, it says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not you that speaketh, but the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost." Now the brethren shall betray the brethren to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall raise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Great Controversy 604 says, "Fearful is the issue to which the world is to be brought, the powers of earth united to war against the commandments of God. We'll discern that all, both small, great, rich, poor, and bond shall conform to the customs of the church by the observance of the false Sabbath. Remember, our worst enemies will be those within our church. There will be a point that those who are named not going to church on Sunday will be given a harsh penalty. They will not hesitate to turn us into the authorities to be punished for not going to church on Sunday. We all know about the image of Nebuchadnezzar on the plains of Dura, that all the citizens were gathered there, and they were told to worship as soon as they heard the music. But they refused, and what was the penalty for refusing to bow down? Thrown into the fiery furnace. So the next phase will be the call to leave the cities. Mark 13:15 says, "And let them that is on the housetops not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. Let them that are in the field not turn back again to take up their garments. But woe to them that were with child and them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath." Jesus told his disciples that we are to leave everything behind and flee from the cities and towns. Christian Service 161, "The time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced to seek refuge in desolate and solitary places. As the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies was the sign for flight to the Judean Christians, so the assumption of the power on the part of our nation in the decree forcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning to us. If it will then be time to leave the large cities, preparatory to leaving the smaller ones for the retirement homes in secluded places among the mountains. Many will be imprisoned, many will flee for their lives from the cities and towns. Many will be martyrs for Christ's sake in standing in defense of the truth." Selected Messages 3, page 397. "There is a prospect before us of continued struggle at the risk of imprisonment, loss of property, and even life itself to defend the law of God." Testimonies 5. Page 712. "Men will be required to render obedience to the human edict in violation of the divine law. Those who are true to God will be menaced, denounced, proscribed. They will be betrayed both by parents, by brethren, by the kinsfolks, and friends, even unto death." Prophets and Kings, page 588. "The last phase of this Sunday law will be the death decree against Sabbath keepers. Revelation 13:5, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast shall speak, and as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Hear the music. "They are to fall down and worship the image." Last Day Events, page 121. "In the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked, who entered the houses of of the saints with a sword. As the saints left the cities and villages, they were pursued by the wicked who sought to slay them. But the swords that were raised to kill God's people broke and fell as powerless as straw. Angels of God shielded these saints. Though a general decree has fixed the time upon commandment keepers, many may be put to death. Their enemies will in some cases anticipate the decree and before the time specified will endeavor to take their lives. but none can pass the mighty guardian stations around about every faithful soul. Some are assailed in their flight from the cities and villages, but the sword raised against them again will break as powerless as the straw. Others are well. I'm having IT problems. I'm thinking that the Sunday law will come in upon us as it did upon Constantine. We're going to end up to the place where we can't buy or sell. And we know that many of us use debit cards. It's not going to be hard for the government to see what we're doing and shut our money off. It will happen. This cashless society is really handy for us. We don't have to carry money, but in the end, it could come down and really hurt us. Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. The Save America Act requiring proof of citizenship of the federal elections sounds good, but can they use this against the citizens someday? Many of the bills that sound good may come back someday to really bite us, especially as Sabbath keepers. Many of our brethren will find it easier to give up the Sabbath than to go without the money. So the Sabbath is going to be very important to us Sabbath keepers in the end times. That is going to be our test. Are we going to be faithful in keeping the Sabbath? Or are we going to fear for our lives? But if we don't keep the Sabbath and we run away from it, we're going to die anyway. Why not die holding the truth? Why not die holding the Sabbath? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So God is with us. Who can be against us?